Thank you, Lynn. Hey, good morning. What a blessing to be here with you guys this morning. I just about told Lynn to just keep going and preach the sermon this morning. This passage is really unbelievable. It is the birth of the church. And I'm just excited to be here and share with you for a few minutes about this. And wow, thank you for braving the slushy parking lot and sliding on in here and joining us for worship service this morning. I got to warn you, though. Usually I have about 10 minutes to drink my, or I used to have about 10 minutes to drink my coffee on the way to church because I live in Grantsville. I had an hour to drink my coffee this morning. So if I speak too fast or something, just kind of give me a sign to slow down or something. But no, I'm really excited about the topic we were talking about this morning. And I love the series that we're on, and I got to preach series in the wisdom series that you're on, and that's great. I love it because the ultimate wisdom is Christ. And this morning we're going to just take kind of a break from that. We're going to look at the birth of the church, the book of Acts, the explosion of the church is a better way to say it. And I just love to see how the songs kind of led up to the things I want to talk about. I'm trying to share my heart, and during the last part of the sermon, I'm going to have Crystal come up here. We're going to share with you a few minutes about what's going on in Morgantown. If you have any questions, we can try to answer those. So it's not, by now you know I'm not this super mega sermon dispenser. Each time is a little different or whatever. My heart is that the kingdom of God would spread and would grow, and that it would grow in you. And it would grow in us together. As the body of Christ, we grow and we flourish and we kind of reproduce this thing. And you know, as I was thinking, like, the gospel message, how incredible. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son that whoever believes should not perish but have everlasting life. That's the foundation of which we build this kind of faith on, is Jesus, the hope of the world. And one of our verses today says that he's the only way. In the Gospels, he says he's the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through him. And so Jesus is the King of the kingdom. And that's what's launched here in the book of Acts. It's the kingdom of God. Chapter 1, verse 3 already starts talking about it. All the way at the end of the book, we have Paul on his third journey. He's talking about the kingdom. And I just want to kind of, maybe it's too late, but hopefully it's not. But if you haven't been in Lynn's class or in the adult Sunday school class, they've been going through the book of Acts, and it is powerful to be in there with a group of people like talking about these passages. And I think they're in chapter 11, 12 somewhere. It's somewhere after Paul's conversion, probably after the first missionary trip that Paul was on. But if you haven't been there, you need to go check it out. It's offered first service and second service. It's kind of right out these doors, a little bit to the right. You should check that out, first or second service, Book of Acts. It's awesome. But I just want to make a few more comments about this gospel message. That's why we come to church. We come here because we are part of the kingdom of God. And the birth of the church, as seen in the book of Acts, is the kingdom of God. And so you say, what is the kingdom of God? Well, it's the space in which Jesus is king. So the space where Jesus is in charge is the kingdom of God. So the people that say, hey, I love and follow Jesus, that is where the kingdom of God is. It's not a geopolitical territory. It can't be part of the UN. But it is, sometimes it does physically make manifestations in this world, in this time and space. But it's this idea, it's this spiritual thing where Jesus reigns. So if you have committed your life and yourself to Christ, if you are a follower of Jesus, you are part of this kingdom of God, which is not a political entity in this world, but it is a space in which Jesus reigns. That's the kingdom. And, you know, over here we have these three, and this wasn't planned, so I weaved through the instruments here. But we have these three words over here, worship, transform, serve. And that's kind of the path to discipleship that we have here at Oakdale. First, like, and these aren't like you move from worship to transformation to service, but these are building blocks you build your life on as a disciple of Jesus. First, when you become a believer, you start worshiping Jesus. You think, wow, this is awesome. I have life eternal in heaven someday. And so you don't stop worshiping. It just gets better and better. And then eventually, as you read the scriptures, your life begins to look a little different. You begin to think a little different. You're transformed by the renewing of your mind, as it says in Romans. And then you see things differently. And you're like, wow, this is amazing. Jesus has saved me. I worship. And then you don't stop there, but then you start to serve. Or another way to say in the last step is that you start proclaiming the word and you start sharing the gospel with other people so that this cycle can be repeated and other people start to worship. They're like, wow, this is amazing. Jesus has saved me. Now I'm going to heaven someday. And then they start to read the scriptures. They start to be transformed. And then on to service or proclamation of the gospel so that other people can come and know the saving power of Jesus. And on and on and on. And the awesome thing is that that is what is happening in the book of Acts. In the beginning of the book of Acts, we have the kingdom of God. We have people. So basically, I'll just make a few comments on the book of Acts before I get going on our text. But the first part of the book of Acts is the last words that Jesus spoke on earth. He's up on the mountainside, and He's kind of giving his last few words. He says, wait and stuff. And then he has this kind of, or he speaks these words that work as this outline of the entire book of the book of Acts. And that's in Acts 1:8, which says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. You'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. And that's actually what happens in the book. At first, the gospel is just going wild in Jerusalem. The day of Pentecost comes. There's just all sorts of cultural barriers are broken through. People are understanding each other in completely different languages. And the gospel just like spreads like wildfire right there in Jerusalem. And then it goes on out from there. And it's so that verse, Acts 1:8, is kind of the outline of the entire book. And Acts is the only history book in the entire New Testament. And it acts as a link from the Old Testament law to the New Testament sphere of grace and freedom in Christ. So it's this kind of link. So we have the Old Testament, the law, and the children of Israel, and then the New Testament. We have the gospel, Jesus launches his kingdom, and then Acts is kind of the beginning of that kingdom, or the working out of what this kingdom looks like. And it acts as a link from the Old Testament law to the new covenant of grace. And in fact, one of the key figures, so the first 12 chapters, Peter is kind of the main character or the key figure in the book. He's the one standing up and speaking boldly. He's the one being dragged into prison. And then miraculously being let out with an earthquake, or he's chained up maximum security prison, and all of a sudden God just sends an earthquake or something, and he gets out. So it's pretty amazing. But then the last part of the book is Paul. And chapter 9 is this incredible conversion, road to Damascus. And he meets Jesus, this bright light from heaven, and he gets blinded by this bright light. And then there's this kind of miraculous servant of God who eventually talks to Paul, or Saul at the moment, and he gets converted. The scales fall off of his eyes. He can see again. This man becomes the kind of single most builder of the church. This man that was blameless by the law. This is that link we're talking about that this book is giving us. Saul was blameless as it relates to the religious system of the day, the law. And then he gets converted, he meets Jesus, and everything changes. And now he is the kind of proclaimer. He writes more than half of the New Testament after that. And he is all about grace. But before, he was all about law. He's persecuting the church. He meets Jesus, he's transformed miraculously, and now it's all about grace. And that's what we live in. That's the covenant we live in. We're living in grace, the kingdom of God is the space where Jesus reigns, and that's where we are today. That's where we find ourselves, in this sphere, in this space of grace, in this area of grace which They could, in the Old Testament, they could only look towards, they could only dream of, they could only think about this amazing grace. But then Jesus comes, and just like Saul, he meets Jesus and is transformed, and now he's the ultimate kind of server, builder of the church. And that's what we're called to do. That's what Lynn was saying. We're called to build his church, not by our own strength, not by our own intellect, not by our own abilities or talents, but by the grace of God. We are called to build his church. And by his grace, me and Crystal are trying to do that in Morgantown. I've said this many times. We don't know where we're going, but we're on our way. And that's where we're at. And we are just, like, I have been drinking from and like praying through and just loving the book of Acts, because that's what we want to see happen in Morgantown. It is awesome, because just like similarly in the day of Pentecost, when that came, there was people there from all over the known world, and the Holy Spirit just broke through, just busted through all these barriers, linguistic barriers, cultural barriers, ethnic barriers, broke right through those, and the gospel spread like wildfire. And what's really awesome is that over in Morgantown, the university and the hospital attracts all these different nationalities, all these different languages, and by God's grace, the Holy Spirit is going to start breaking through some of these barriers so that the gospel can spread there. And then, just like they did in the book of Acts from Jerusalem, so from Morgantown maybe to, I don't know, Washington, D.C. or Pittsburgh, wherever, but then to the uttermost parts of the earth, just like they did in the book of Acts. So it's incredible. It, like, as far as the book of Acts is really unique. I've talked about the link, but it's really unique in that it is its own genre of scripture. Remember last time I talked about genre of scripture? There's the prophets, the major prophets, minor prophets, there's the gospels, there's the epistles. But in the wisdom literature, there's like poetry. But the book of Acts is so unique. The book of Acts is so different than anything else. It's in a category of all its own. Whenever you see a list of genres of scripture, there's all the genres that have several books in them, and then there's the book of Acts. Because it's unique, it's different. It's the kingdom of God birthed and launched like wildfire. It really is the unstoppable force. You know, if you have your bulletin, on the back of the bulletin, says the unstoppable force, exclamation point. And that is what the church is. So there's never been another social entity in the world ever that has been an unstoppable force until the church was born. And the church has not only been born, but it has spread and it has grown and it has incredibly growing in various settings, whether it's Marxism, whether it's a democracy, whatever space, whatever political situation the church is in. In fact, it does better when there's opposition. I'm just going to make a few comments about that as it relates to the book of Acts. But the church grows better when there's opposition. In fact, the book of Acts says there's this rhythm found in the book that when opposition comes, that's part of the growing. And I think it was, who was that? That's early church father that said, the blood of the martyrs is the seed of the church. Just an incredible idea, incredible quote there. That all these people that, they thought that Jesus was so good, they've been transformed to the point where they're like, I don't care if I lose that's fine. If I can die for Jesus, that's great. And then they die for Jesus and stand true. And then the church is born, the church grows, the church becomes more because of their sacrifice. And thankfully, we don't have to live in that kind of environment here. We have religious freedom. But we really have to stay on guard because we have an adversary, it's the devil, and we have this opposition, this spiritual opposition that is trying to distract you, is trying to get your attention, is trying to cause you to get angry with your wife, is trying to lust, is trying to get you to cheat on your taxes, whatever the situation is. Satan is trying to distract you and grab your attention. But I'm just here to say, hey, let's together build the kingdom of God and build the church. Just a couple comments I want to make on this passage here in chapter 4 that we had read. I just love it. They're like, at one point they say, as they're drug in there and they're being questioned, like, hey guys, in what name or by what power, what are you dealing in? What's going on? They're like, they don't understand what's going on because they've been working in this secular, like, this thing that they can think about. But John and Peter, they're dealing with the Holy Spirit. This is kind of completely other than. And so they're wondering, like, what's going on? What are you doing? Like, what are you dealing in that you can heal this guy? Like, how incredible is this? This kind of physical manifestation of the kingdom of God. Physical health is restored. And so, sorry, my mind is just filled and I can't. If I'm a little distracted and scattered, just hopefully you can forgive me. You've been transformed to the point and you can forgive me for that. But so there's this pattern in the book of Acts, and I believe this pattern still works today. This pattern is still active today. We see it all around the world. And that pattern is God's people come together. We're called to get together. We're called to fellowship. We're called to kind of be strong together, encourage one another. At one point in the book of Acts, they're selling their possessions. By the way, don't smudge your numbers on your giving, because at one point God just zaps two people that kind of smudged their how much they gave after they sold their property. Talk about action film. This would be great if we could turn this into a movie. This would be the ultimate action movie. The book of Acts could be turned into a movie. Man, you got sermons that are so long that people are falling asleep, falling out the window and dying and then raised to life again. There's a lot of stuff going on here in this book. So I encourage you to go home and read it and just take some time to study this book. But so I'm distracted. So this rhythm that I talked about, first the space where Jesus is king, these people where Jesus, they're followers of Jesus, they get together, they fellowship. Opposition arises. Somebody stands up and proclaims the truth, and the word of God grows. It's really amazing. We have fellowship, opposition, somebody proclaims the truth, the word of God grows. Fellowship, opposition, or something coming against the fellowship, and then we have somebody proclaiming the truth. And many times in the book of Acts, looking at the Old Testament scriptures and showing how this is fulfilling prophecy, and then we have the word of God growing or spreading. And there's a couple key phrases we have in this book where it says that and filled with the Holy Spirit. So it might say, and then Peter filled with the Holy Spirit. And man, that's my prayer, that's my goal, that's my desire, is that me and Crystal together, as we go out to Morgantown, as we're living there, it's really awesome. We live right beside Indian neighbors. They're from the country of India, right next to the Pakistani border. And our driveway is here and their driveway touches our driveway. It's not like we're on 2.5 acres, by the way. We're on 1/4 acre and most of that's house. So it's not like we have a lot of space. But there's our driveway and their driveway, so we're right beside these Indian neighbors, and it's awesome. And just couple minutes down the road to the university where there's all sorts of international students. And so it's our prayer is that if history was recorded of our time there in Morgantown, it'd be, and then Scott and Crystal, filled with the Holy Spirit, went to the university or whatever. And so that's my desire, just like they did in the book of Acts. And then the opposition that comes in our day, it might be distractions, it might be your own sinful nature that's the one opposing your, like, evangelism, if you're out in Salisbury or wherever you're at, sharing the gospel, whatever. But there's this rhythm, there's this fellowship, and that's what we're doing now. That's good. But then we have this opposition when they're proclaiming the truth. But then somebody stands up and clarifies by proclaiming the truth, and the word of God grows, or the church grows. And we have this book. I'll just make this comment. Yeah, this book of Acts spreads to about 30 years of history. And so there's a principle that can be learned here, is that it takes time. It takes time for the church to grow. But man, it grew and it exploded, and it is on the way, and it's still on the way. The exciting thing is that this is the unstoppable force that works in any kind of social or political situation. It can do well. It can thrive in any situation. And it does better when opposition is kind of pressing in, because it is the unstoppable force. And we get to be part of that. It's exciting. It's amazing. And I really didn't get to the chapter 4, 1 through 13 or 14. Couple comments I just want to make here towards the end. It's incredible. So we have, I'll just make, kind of say what's going on here. John and Peter drug in there, just healed this beggar, this crippled guy. They're like, what's going on? What power? What are you dealing in? And Peter's like, are you upset that I healed this guy? And then they just say that, hey, by the way, it's by the power of Jesus, the guy that you crucified, they say, that we raised this or brought health to this man. But then down verses 13 and 14, let me see, 13 and 14, check this out, Acts 4, 13 and 14. Now when they saw the boldness, and that's what we have when we have the Holy Spirit, we have this ability to be bold, just like Jesus spoke or taught with confidence. Boldness of Peter and John, they perceived that they were uneducated people. So these were not like people with these big degrees or anything. These were common people. They were astonished because they were speaking with that much authority. They were astonished by that. And they recognized that they had been with Jesus. And that's kind of the punch I want to leave with you. Like, as the Holy Spirit... as you have the Holy Spirit and you proclaim truth, these men that were kind of upset at all this stuff that's going on, they recognized that they had been with Jesus. This is my prayer. When we minister to college students or to young professionals in Morgantown or to whoever we meet, oh, that God would know, the lady at the grocery store or whatever, that God would somehow help us to communicate to these lost people that we have been with Jesus, and there's a place, please inquire about following Jesus, because we want that, the Holy Spirit's power to kind of start this process of worship, transform, and serve. And our prayer is that as the momentum gets going, more and more people will invite more and more of their friends, and so on. Crystal, you can come on up. And then verse 14, but seeing the man who was healed standing beside them, they had nothing to say in opposition. So that's part of the beauty of the kingdom of God. It's like the secular thought or the ways of man, like, it's unexplainable. You can't make sense of it because it's so amazing. It's so life-giving. It's so different than anything in the world around us as far as political systems or social systems. So we didn't rehearse this super much, but what I'm going to do is just kind of share, or she says that all. She keeps my life in order. If I didn't do anything right, or if I get there on time or whatever, it's because of Crystal. But I want to just share briefly, just kind of recapping the vision as we shared here before. And I want to invite you guys to pray, because remember, as God's people get together, they usually prayed, opposition arose, somebody proclaimed the truth, and then the church grew or the word of God spread. But basically, Crystal and I, after serving here for a couple years, God gave us this vision, this desire to reach people, especially... these kind of international people, but anybody in a context of a city, and start this church of kind of the specific vision right now as God has developed this, but to start this church of young professionals and hopefully multicultural church where the word of God can be just spread throughout Morgantown and then out from there. And we are just... moving forward day by day as best we can. At this point, I still pretty much full-time providing for our family. But as we have time, as we have energy and stuff, we just want to make contacts in Morgantown. We want to allow the gospel to spread. It's been challenging. We've had some opposition, I think. Not like people are like beating up on us or something for proclaiming the truth. Thankfully, we live in a country that's free. But we've experienced some opposition, even if I can just be this vulnerable, even like within our marriage, with the stress of the move, new house, new setting and stuff. We've had some challenges in our marriage that I wouldn't just invite you guys to pray with us and to ask God to bring His grace, His power, to kind of help us to get past some of the things that we've been struggling with, and that the Word of God can spread. And feel free to share truth with us. I'm still kind of in the mode of preaching, and so Crystal, do you have anything you want to say at the moment? So this is a time, if you have any questions, this is a time that you can just ask that. I will just say the space that the house that we bought is just off of Saberton exit. If you know the airport exit or Pierpont with Lowe's and all that stuff, Planet Fitness, it's the next exit, and we're about 4 minutes off the highway. And we would love if you would, if you're in Morgantown, I know there's a lot of stores that people go to out there, and if you're out there, please stop in. We're just off the highway, and if you can't get there, I'll come out to a coffee shop or something, and we can meet and we can pray together. Down by the university is this really nice Panera Bread in an old building with two dining floors, and so upstairs you can kind of bury yourself in a corner. You're not interrupting anybody, and I would love to just have people come out and pray with us and fellowship. I've talked about scheduling a wing night for guys to come out, and we can eat wings together and pray. I don't know. I like wings. So, but get involved. Pray with us, and then let's see if we can start a church that builds some momentum with the kingdom of God in Morgantown. So is there anybody that has any questions that you'd like to ask about what's going on in Morgantown or what the situation is? Feel free to just raise your hand. Can you get that mic there? Thanks, Nathan.
I guess my question, my major question is, do you ever preach in your own church?
Do I preach in my own church? Is that...
You preach in this church a lot.
Yeah, where so that's a good question. So we have met several times in our home where... and there's a couple from this area that is driving out to worship with us because we don't have any Morgantown... Morgantownites. I don't know. I just made that up. But
get them started.
Pardon me?
Go to Morgantown and get them started.
Yeah. Thank you.
That's what you.
I like that.
That's what you.
Yeah. Get her done.
Do.
Hallelujah.
Let's see how much you want to do it.
Yeah.
Go to Morgantown.
Yeah. Well, we're living there, and thanks for that encouragement. That's what we want to do, and I appreciate that.
The pastor of this church does well. He has this church.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate that. I don't know. I think I'm preaching a little bit less than once a month here right now. But hopefully, as the church grows in Morgantown, not that I don't want to come back here, but hopefully, we'll be needed there, and we can just serve there.
By your own word, you're saying you want to preach in Morgantown.
Yeah.
Go to Morgantown and preach.
Thank you.
They can't hear you from here.
Yeah, I understand. Thank you. Thank you so much for that encouragement. Anybody else have a question or an answer for us?
Can you hear me?
I can hear you. I can repeat it.
Is there ways that we can kind of stay more in touch with you on, you know, a digital way or an email list that you have for anything?
Yeah.
As far as outreach?
That's a great question. And in a lot of ways, this is happening faster than, sort of we're prepared for, if you know what I mean. And I have this desire to start a blog or some kind of social media to allow you guys to kind of stay informed as to what's going on, or an email list, which could be one and the same, just two platforms. And I haven't developed that. I want to get some kind of brochures typed up or something, and I haven't developed that. So, like I said, I'm still working pretty much full-time in construction to provide for our family. And so it's like limited time and resources. If there's somebody that would like to design a brochure for us, that'd be great. Talk to us. There's ways that you can get involved, and I know I don't have like a list of things that you can like sign up for this or that. But we need people to pray. There's some practical things that we need. Eventually we need to, we would like to have somebody to help us kind of stay accountable with finances as people give support. We want a couple sets of eyes on that so that we're not tempted to do anything that we shouldn't be as far as finances go. So there's several ways you can give all. You can come out and eat wings with me and we'll pray together. That's a great way to get involved. Or it's hang out at Panera, whatever. But I want to organize some prayer walks because I just really believe that the birth of the church happens when God's people praise, when they pray and when they seek the Holy Spirit to come. Crystal, do you want to say anything?
Sure. I would just, a specific prayer request, I think, for myself and for us, would just be knowing how to prioritize our time. And that, for me in particular, like I'm working at setting up our home and getting through all the boxes and all of those things. And the way I'm put together, I like to do, you know, one big job at a time and have it all nicely completed and then move on to the next. So my nature wants to get our house all set up and then everything's perfect and then we'll start ministering. But I don't want to miss my neighbor next door or the cashier at the Aldi because I'm worried about getting my house set up. And so I think just for me to know best how to prioritize my time, because obviously our family will function better if we're not living out of boxes, but where to put my time on a daily basis. And then like Scott said, things are happening faster than what we thought, which is exciting. Our plan kind of was to move to Morgantown and then travel around to different churches in the few months and raise support and let people know what we're doing and things like that. And now we have people who wanted to worship with us right away a week into it, which is awesome. We're really excited about having them. They've really been fuel to our fire in a lot of ways, community for us, worshipers with us, etc. And so now we just need to determine, we don't want to lose this fresh momentum in worshiping in our home right away. And we do need to work at raising, friend raising and things like that. And so just to know how much to prioritize worship in our home on a Sunday morning and how much to prioritize reaching out to people for support because we need that.
Yeah, so like things we've been thinking about, do we meet in our home on a weeknight or Saturday evening, Sunday evening, so that we have Sunday for a month or two, so that we have Sunday morning to go visit at Maple Glen? Or there's several churches that have opened invitations out for us to share and cast vision. I'd like to do that, but so how do we do that while we ride on the momentum there? And another way that the church thing is happening faster than we're kind of ready for it is, so Morgantown, I don't know if you know, it's kind of a city on a hill, and that's the kind of, we don't have a name for the church yet, but we've called it a city on a hill so far, just because it is literally a city on a hill. But parking is an issue. Like, so at our home, we're on the end of a cul-de-sac, but it's an issue if we have a lot of people coming. Like, where do we put all the cars? Because it's not like we have big, wide roads with huge parking lots. We don't have grass to pull onto because it's a quarter of an acre with a house on it. So just a blessing that God has made available for us. There's an office up close to the sporting complex. There's a couple kids from Oakdale that play soccer in the sporting complex. But right near there, there's a pillar office, which has a big conference room. It fits about 50 people. They made that available to us to use for a space to worship. And parking is just great there. So it seems like God is kind of putting it together faster than we're ready. But we praise God for that. And is there any other questions? I got to wrap up here. any other, and please feel free to talk to me after the service or whatever. Do you have any last comments you want to make? Good. So, yeah, the worship team can come up. Sorry, I'm a little bit past the time I should be, but I'm just so thankful that you guys are kind of being the kingdom of God here in Salisbury, and I ask you and I plead you, please go forth, like do this cycle, keep worshiping, let that worship get hotter and hotter, and then allow the word of God to transform you, and don't stop there, but begin serving, proclaim the word of truth, the gospel. And I just want to pray to close and ask that Oakdale would become a church that is filled with the Holy Spirit and that it would begin to explode like the book of Acts shows us. So Jesus, thank you for the opportunity to be here. And God, may you just grow your church here in Salisbury, Myersdale, Grantsville, Morgantown, God, all across the world. May saw it. God, just build your kingdom here on earth so that more people might come into the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And let your kingdom, the space where Jesus is king, the people who follow you, may it grow and flourish. And may your kingdom just continue to be established in this world, in the hearts and lives of men and women. In Jesus' name, amen.